This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to the show. We're going to be talking about back pain and the MCO. How on earth is that actually related? On the line with me, Dr. John DeCruz, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Park City Medical Center. And with many of us working from home, we're exercising less. What kind of impact will that have on our back and our joints? Dr. John is actually going to shed more light on that. Welcome to the show, Dr. John. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm well, thank you.
So let's talk about back pain. I think we've all sort of come to terms with the fact that back pain, especially lower back pain and neck pain, is going to be something that you're going to be dealing with a lot in the future, given that we're all on gadgets, we don't sit properly. But in the broader terms, how do you define it and when does it become a clinical problem?
Okay, well, when we talk about back pain, it is actually not a disease but a constellation of symptoms. It's basically pain that is felt at the back or the spine region. To make it simple, yes, we have the common areas that we deal with is the neck and the lower back. So in the neck, or we call it cervical region, is the second most commonest. Of course, the most common is the lower back pain, which is the lumbar pain, and then comes the middle of the back, which is the thoracic region. And sometimes people do get pain lower down, near the buttock. So that is in an area of what we call a sacrococcygeal region. It actually is a clinical problem when there are certain red flags that we have to make sure that the patient does not have. Generally, most of the patients are, when they have back pain, it is usually self-limited. It normally resolves 4 to 8 weeks for most of the patients. But we are worried about the clinical problems that may come together with this back pain. And that is what we have to be extra cautious about. I'll give an example about what we're talking about, red flags. When there is unexplained weight loss, or history of cancer or metastasis, when there's associated fever, sudden onset of neurological deterioration, like loss of power and sensation, or there's loss of bowel and bladder control, or there's history of trauma, fall from heights, even if the patient is an intravenous drug abuser or has history of chronic steroid use. This is something that we have to rule out first. And once this is ruled out, then it is most of the time self-limited back pain or non-specific back pain, which is the most commonest.
Of that percentage of patients who come and see you, how much of the diagnosis is actually just back pain and not something else?
Well, it's more than 90 to 95% of the patients.
That's very good to know, that yes. It's nothing more sinister.
Yes,
however,
exactly.
Back pain can be chronic. It can affect your lifestyle. It can affect your day-to-day activities, your functioning in your daily life.
Yes.
What is the burden on our society? I mean, we didn't really have this problem in such a big way back in the day. It is a problem now, and it is going to continue to be a problem. What's the burden on society?
Okay, we all know that back pain causes a real significant effect on healthcare costs at the workplace as well as the country. In terms of productivity, it decreases tremendously. Like for example, in 2003, US came out with some statistics that said that for every 100 employees, they spent around 34 to 35,000 US dollars, which is quite significant. And it is one of the leading causes of work-related disability in most countries, including Malaysia. And we are talking about billions yearly that leads to the actual cost of the problem is actually related to back pain.
Do you even see a solution for this problem?
Well, there is no full there's no complete solution. Even the actual fact of back pain is very non-specific most of the time. There are many reasons for the back pain. And even as we are going through the whole issue about the proper diagnosis, the proper treatment, there are still very small fragment or percentage of patients that eventually will go into chronic back pain. So it is very difficult for us to actually come to a complete cure or a total solution because every individual is different.
But what's causing this?
There are many factors, actually, because we have to go back to what is actually the causes of the back pain. Like I said, most of the time it is non-specific or what we call mechanical type of injury. Examples are muscle strain, ligamentous sprain, the most common or everybody knows about intervertebral disc, or people say it as PID, prolapsed intervertebral disc.
What we call slip disc.
Yes, exactly. What we call slip disc. And yes. a lot of patients, straight away, when they know that they're coming in for back pain, the first question they ask me is, doctor, is it a slip disc? Mm-hmm. But most of the time, it's just a muscle strain or a ligamentous sprain. And when we're looking at the age, the elderly tend to end up having things like pain related to degeneration. So they have facet joint arthritis or spinal stenosis, which are actually age-related or degeneration. And they present in a little bit different compared to those who present with a prolapsed intervertebral disc or slip disc.
And for the younger people?
Most of them are actually having, again, like what I said, muscle strain. The next would be prolapsed intervertebral disc, which there's tendency for the patient as well as the doctor to look at the disc rather than looking at everything else. But it's not really true. There are many instances where simple medication, physiotherapy, and strengthening and stretching exercises will actually solve their problem.
And so, given that we're all home now and most of us are sitting on all sorts of chairs and doing more housework than we ever did before,
right.
You know, exerting to a certain extent, what's your advice? I mean, who do you foresee coming to see you at the end of this MCO?
Okay, it's slightly different compared to the presentation of the patients coming in before the MCO. Right, because before the MCO would be work-related, job-related, occupational-related type of back pain. But I tend to see more of, yes, we do see patients coming in with lower back pain commonly or neck pain, but it's more related now because of the posture, the way they sit. People are sitting long hours on a chair, but they are not aware of the position and the posture that they sit in. Sometimes I tend to just give a simple guide of 90-90 because when we sit, a proper position is 90 degrees of the knee flexion and at the hip flexion. So we tend to sit at a better position and avoid further damage to our back. That is one of the main reasons. Of course, there are many other reasons like falls at home. In terms of doing housework, sometimes we have people who end up carrying heavy loads which they are not used to. So even the way they carry the loads or the way they carry goods or even pots at home, those also have effect. Because of the wrong way that we carry these type of heavy loads, will eventually cause a lot of back pain.
Yeah, like a pail of water when you need to mop or when you attempt to start growing vegetables.
Exactly.
So I can think of a million things.
So you tend to bend down, extreme bending, trying to plant something, or you want to carry something heavy or a bucket of water. But it's the way you carry that makes the impact. It is not so much of how many pails of water you carry, but it's the way that you carry it and how heavy it is, you know?
And the way to carry it is what? To bend your knees when you carry it up?
Yes.
Or?
Correct. Yeah. If there's something on the floor that you need to pick up, you must bend your knees. You not bend your at the level of your waist. So bending the knees, keeping the load or the object closer to your body, not further than your towards your body. And if you're looking at carrying something which is heavy, you have to be careful when you carry it beyond the level of your shoulder. Because if you carry, like for example, putting a heavy bag into a flight cabin, right? That causes a lot of pressure onto your neck. But of course, we don't do that during the MCO. But what I mean is, during certain activities that you need to carry something heavy, if it's higher, then you need to put a stool or put it, get it at least at the same level as your shoulders.
We'll come back and find out why this happens. What are ways to avoid it? I mean, we are going to carry our bags and put it into the overhead cabin. We are going to do more, you know, strenuous work. But what's a way of making sure or to prevent these injuries? We'll come back and find out more up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good morning. Welcome back. I'm Ira Sivasodhi. It's a health and living segment. Dr. John DeCruz, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Park City Medical Center, on the line with me. We are discussing how to take care of your back while you're working from home. Dr. John, you've gone through the weak points for us living in this day and age, which is our neck and our lower back. Due to various issues now that we sit for much longer periods of time. However, now with the MCO, many of us are home doing chores, which we usually wouldn't on such a regular basis. We are attempting to do things like gardening, for an example. We are also now sitting at home and watching a whole load of, you know, we're binge-watching movies. We are also trying to get work done, office work done on chairs, which are possibly not conducive for sitting for long periods of time. What are ways to avoid these problems, Dr. John? Why is it we have become like this? Is it because we've not kept our back muscles flexible? We've not strengthened our backs? Where are we going wrong?
Okay. What I feel is, especially during the MCO, we have tendency to move less physical activity, more into a sedentary way of behavior. So when this happens, there is something called deconditioning. So our muscles, mainly at around our spine, tend to decondition. So when decondition happens, there's a whole vicious cycle that happens, which will eventually lead to more pain, and when you have more pain, you will eventually have more disability, and when you have more disability, you have more fear of movement, and when you have more fear of movement, naturally there's less physical activity. So it's actually a vicious cycle. So our job is to be aware of this vicious cycle and try to break the vicious cycle in order to keep our spine in good health. And there are a few ways that we can do that. For example, if you're already having some pain in your back, one of the good ways is to just use some ice or chill it. You know, just use some ice for about 15 to 20 minutes. The area that hurts you, that's one way. But you must also remember, you should not lie in the bed for more than 2 to 3 days at a time, because this will lead to further deconditioning of your muscles. So, yes, you can rest, but maybe 1 or 2 days, but you have to get up and move around. So movement is very important, and our spine needs movement. If we stop moving, a lot of things are going to go wrong, and the vicious cycle starts coming in, like I just explained. At the same time, yes, we are going to the MCO, but there's no reason why we should not be doing exercises or strengthening our back. Those are very important. You must keep in mind, especially the extensor muscles, which is at the back of our spine. We have to look at ways of strengthening the muscles. You can look at the internet. There's various types of exercises, various types of regime that you can follow. Most important, you have to remember, is keep it at low to moderate impact and not high impact. Another way is by doing proper stretches, especially when you have tendency to sit long hours on a chair doing your work or watching TV, binge watching. Well, at least try to make an attempt to get up after about 20 minutes or so and stretch yourself, especially backward stretching. Because when we sit, when we watch TV, we are always forward moving. We are always looking, we are always sitting and bending ourselves forward. Yeah. So we have to do the opposite, get up, stretch, and bend backward. Okay? That's another way. And always think in an ergonomic way. Whenever you sit down at the desk or when you're sitting in a chair, on a chair, and also at your workplace in future, right? Do not put things very far away from you that you have to reach out and grab it. Just keep everything within your reach. And when you look at a computer, look at the eye level, not below that or above that. And also, like I mentioned earlier, the 90-90 rule, as you sit, that helps you to maintain a proper posture. There are a lot of other things we can consider. And again, like what I said just now, the proper technique of picking up objects from the floor or lifting heavy objects also plays a very important role. And with this binge watching, with this hanging around at home more than what we normally do, I think we also have to keep an eye on our diet, because there is tendency to put on weight when we are in this type of situation. Like I said, we tend to move less. So all these things will end up putting on, for us to end up putting on more weight, especially with more home-cooked food. And that's another thing that we have to keep an eye on.
When is it necessary to get to the hospital, Dr. John?
Okay, in the beginning, if you have a back pain, for example, you try the basic measures. You do the icing, you rest, you can use some braces at your lower back or the neck. You can do some stretching, like I mentioned. Try some basic medication, some energetics, some anti-inflammatories. But if that fails and you still continue to have back pain, yes, you should consider to see a doctor and come in so that we can do some investigations. We can find out why and what exactly is causing your pain. Because for us to deal with back pain, we must come to a conclusion. What are we dealing with exactly? Is it the disc? Is it the muscle? Is it some other reasons? Like I mentioned, we have to make sure that none of the red flags are there, and so that we can continue to give you good relief for your pain and consider to do some physiotherapy at the hospital.
Yeah. So the first port of call will be ICIT.
ICIT, rest it, do some stretches, do not lie down completely, like I mentioned, more than two days. If the pain does not subside, then you should consider to come to the hospital.
And for those of us who are undergoing active treatment or, you know, prior to the MCO, like physiotherapy and things like that, I mean, what are the consequences of stopping therapy, during the MCO? Is that going to sort of push you back in terms of recovery?
Yes, most definitely. Because like I mentioned, remember the vicious cycle. So if you stop coming for the physiotherapies, doing the necessary exercises, when we are at home, we tend to sort of be a little bit more lazy, I guess. So we don't follow the actual exercises. We are not compliant. And that ends up having, again, going back to what I mentioned just now, deconditioning of the muscles. You do less, you are less active, and the whole process starts all over again. So it's very important for us to consider to continue doing the physiotherapy, and there are certain modalities that we cannot do it at home. For example, when you're talking in terms of physiotherapy, there are things like ultrasound therapy, TENS, electrical stimulation, traction. So these are the things that is done in a hospital basis and not at home.
Are there alternatives, though, while you're at home? Are there alternatives at all?
There are some people who buy a small portable TENS machine, which is quite helpful. But other than that, like the ultrasound or even laser therapy, it's not easy to do it at home because it's done by certain machines. But of course, you can do the stretches, the strengthening exercises, which will definitely be beneficial for you at home.
And when everybody goes back to work, do you foresee things getting better for most people, or do you think this whole idea of lower back pain is here to stay with us for the foreseeable future?
Okay. Unfortunately, I think there is no difference with the MCO or without the MCO. This has been a problem for many, many, many years, hundreds of years. I don't think it's going to go away. I think the better way to look at it is to contain it, to know that you're having it, and to know what are the actual things that you need to do to make sure that you keep it at bay and to prevent from recurrence. Because we must understand that lower back pain or even upper back pain, there is a very high chance of recurrence, no matter what we do. So it's always better to be careful, to do things to make sure that it doesn't end up becoming a chronic problem, like what I mentioned just now, the exercises, the stretches, and having the mind not to carry certain things when you know you have back problems. So these are the important things that you should consider.
You know, Dr. John, I need to ask you this question. You just said that this problem goes back hundreds of years. I honestly believe that it became, it was sort of exacerbated with our sedentary lifestyles today. But you said it goes back hundreds of years. Do we know why? I mean, why is our back so vulnerable?
Okay, what I feel is hundreds of years ago, the cause of the back pain was probably different. Like now, when there is more of office work and sedentary lifestyle, the cause of the back pain is different. Like I mentioned to you earlier, the cause of the back pain currently most of the time is muscle deconditioning and disc prolapse. But whereas when we look at many years ago, people used to walk more. So they used to do more exercises, they used to be more active. Also, we must not forget our diet. Even diet plays a very important role in our modern lifestyle when we compare to hundreds of years ago. Those days, the cause of pain was most probably related to heavy manual work or other form of activities, or they are more related to trauma, accidents, and things like that. So today, the cause of the back pain may be a little bit different, but the back pain was always there. Because as we know, year by year, the cost of the healthcare cost when it comes to back pain is just increasing exponentially. So what I feel is there is a lot of factors involved, but the most common one is why we see more back pain today is one is the sedentary life, and two is it's a very complicated issue. That means you have some form of psychological element to it. You have some form of workers' compensation element to it. So it's multifactorial, and that's why I feel that it's a little bit different when you compare from previous years or many years ago and what we see currently.
You know, you mentioned that we're sedentary and that's reduced physical activity, and that sort of affects the back. How is that, Dr. John? How does walking, for an example, and that's better than being sedentary, how does walking protect the back from getting weaker?
Okay. So we are just using walking as one of the examples, right?
Yes.
So when we walk, we are actually using our muscles. So the skeletal muscles in our body, in our bones, even at our back, is being used. So there is more chance of muscle strength. So with the muscle strength, the back gets protected. Of course, we have to be always careful with the posture. But when we're talking about walking or doing any form of exercises, there is increased blood flow, there is tendency to be more active, there is a reduction of what we call an adductive remodeling. That means, for example, if you do not do this form of exercises or even walking, the muscles will actually undergo atrophy. That means they become smaller, they become less powerful, or they reduce the strength. And that will cause back pain. So opposite of that, when we walk, when we are active, all these things can be reduced. And keeping us healthy, there's also metabolic issues like the carbohydrate and lipid metabolism. When we are active, the metabolism is better, and there's also tendency for us to lose weight rather than gain weight.
So final question, what is your advice for people who are at home during the MCO to ensure that they have good spinal health and to prevent any back problems?
Okay, I would just like to mention to everyone a few tips. Again, I'm just repeating what I said just now. I just wanted for everyone to understand that we have to be first conscious that our back needs attention. So we are always looking in front, but we don't know what's going on at the back. So we have to consider things like keeping our posture right, whether we are standing, whether we are walking, whether we are sitting, when we are sleeping. We always have to keep our posture right. And think of ergonomic way of sitting, ergonomic way of doing your activity, or even doing something on a table. There is a proper way to stand when you're doing activities, even on a table. Please do your stretches. Stretches are very important. We always take it very lightly, but it goes a long way to strengthen your back. And exercise, exercise, exercise. Remember not to overdo it, because even by overdoing exercises, it can precipitate back pain.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. John DeCruz, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Park City Medical Center, speaking to us about how to take care of your back while working from home on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.